You're listening to audio from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more information about Pleasant Valley, visit our website at pleasantvalley.cc.
Good morning. It's good to be with you guys. We're going to be in Psalm 23 today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23. Or I think it'll be on the screen as well if you don't. I don't know if you guys are used to doing this or not. I'm going to ask you to join me in doing something today that we do at our church. I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. We give honor where honor is due. We give honor to the Word of God. Psalm 23, and we'll begin in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that your word would speak. Lord, we ask that it would speak into our lives, into our minds, into our hearts, that you'd show us what we need to see, that you show us things, our own shortcomings, our own failures, not our neighbors, not the person seated next to us, not someone else we're thinking of, but Father, show us what we need to see. Speak to us about us from your word, through your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. It's an honor to be here with you guys today, and honestly, I'm pretty humbled by what Jameis said about me and my wife. And I'm just a country boy. I'm not anything fancy at all. I'm very privileged. God's just been really good to me. I'm very thankful for his grace and his mercy in my life. And, you know, as I was reading Psalm 23, preparing to preach this message, I was trying to think about how I could relate this, you know, to my own life of being a shepherd. I don't know that much about sheep. I've never really had any sheep to speak of, but I do raise cows. And so I was trying to think, well, how can I take that and put that and bring that to you guys in a way that would relate to what we're talking about? You know, I asked my wife to help me out, help me remember some kind of a story that I could share with you guys, and she reminded me of, you know, there's been several occasions raising cattle that we've had an orphan calf. We'd have a calf that, you know, the mother died, or the mother didn't give enough milk for the calf, or something along that line, is she wouldn't accept it, whatever the case may be. But this calf was totally dependent upon us to help raise it. And I remember there was one time that we had a calf that was an orphan calf like that. And I came to my wife and I said, you know, we've got another orphan calf, and we're going to have to raise it on a bottle. She was like, oh, no. No, not again. We're not doing that again. Because every time we have an orphan calf, it's this big ordeal, and the calf actually will fight against you. He doesn't readily take the milk at first. You have to kind of force feed the calf the milk, and he's fighting against you and all that. And she's like, if he doesn't take the milk and all that, I just don't want to fool with it. I don't want to do it anymore. And I was thinking about it, but actually, to tell you the truth about the story, this one actually was very easy, and it was a smooth transition. It was actually a female calf, and she named it Isabella. I don't, to this day, I don't really know why she named it Isabella, but she did, and the calf took the milk, and, you know, it lived happily ever after and all that. So, but the reason I tell you that is that often we are like that calf, aren't we? We fight against that which is to help us. That this calf is fighting not to take the life-sustaining milk that it needs in order to survive. And we are trying to shepherd, to help this calf get what it needs in order to survive. And the whole time, the calf is not fighting against that. And we're so much like that. We have the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who said, "Do not fear, little flock. I've been pleased to give you the kingdom." We know that he's working all things together for our good. We know that he wants to help us. We know that he is for us, not against us. And yet we fight against his leadership. We fight against his shepherding. I want to take you to Psalm 23 this morning. I want to share a couple things with you from Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. The first thing I want to share with you this morning, as we look at the text and we look at this passage, "The Lord is my shepherd," I'm reminded of this first thing this morning, that I have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have a shepherd? Do you have a shepherd? Do you even want a shepherd in your life? So many of us at times in our lives, really what we want is we don't want to be shepherded. We want to be the shepherd. We want to tell the Lord, "This is what I want to do." What we'd rather do, rather than follow his shepherding, is what we'd like to do is draw up our plans of how we would like for our lives to go, our hopes, our dreams, our desires, our wishes, and our wants, and then somehow pass that across the desk of Jesus and have him stamp, place his stamp of approval upon it. That's what we want. But I'm reminded that as I have a tendency to think that way, reminded of the words of a song that we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. I have a shepherd. I'm like a sheep in many ways. I don't always make good decisions. Especially if I'm afraid, if I'm scared, if I'm upset, if I'm worried. I have a tendency to panic. I do like a sheep and something scared me and I might just take off running and just run into the fence head first. The world will tell you to trust your heart. Trust your instincts. Follow your heart. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. And who can know it? We can't trust our instincts. We can't always trust our heart. But I want to tell you today, you can trust the Good Shepherd. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Depend not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths," or make your path straight. I have a shepherd. Do you have a shepherd? Or are you your own shepherd? I have a shepherd. Pray that you do. Who or what is guiding you in your life? Who or what is your shepherd? I have a shepherd, but I'm also reminded that my shepherd is the Lord. I have a shepherd, and my shepherd is the Lord. This is the Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God who spoke the worlds into place, the sound of his voice. He is my shepherd. There's this sense in the text that There's this personal relationship between David and the God of the universe, Yahweh. There's this relationship, this intimate relationship. And even though we are small and tiny, even in terms of the universe, the God who created it is my shepherd. He's concerned with the details of my life. He's concerned with me. I want to ask you a question this morning. As David says, the Lord is my shepherd. You understand that the shepherd owns the sheep, right? The shepherd owns the sheep. Do you recognize, or are you recognizing in your life, his ownership and authority in your life? The shepherd doesn't follow the sheep. The sheep follow the shepherd. Do you recognize Christ's ownership? You are mine. You are bought with a price. You recognize his ownership and authority in your life. Let me ask you a question. How do you make decisions? How do you make decisions in your life? You just do what you want to do? You just say, I'm going to do what I want to do, and then I'm just going to ask the Lord to bless it? Or do you seek his guidance, the good shepherd, in your life before you make decisions? You say, Father, guide me, lead me, show me the way. In other words, I'm asking you, are you asking the Lord to just get in the car with you for a ride along? Or are you asking him to drive? Are you saying to him, Jesus, take the wheel? You want the Lord to be your co-pilot, or do you want him to drive? The Lord is my shepherd. See, I have a shepherd, and my shepherd is the Lord. But I'm also reminded from this text as we get into more of the text, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I have everything I need. I may not have a big bunch of money piled up in the bank account, but I've got everything I need because the Lord is my shepherd. I know he's going to take care of me. And you know how I know that? Because not only do I have a shepherd and my shepherd is the Lord, but my shepherd is a good shepherd. Man, he's a good shepherd. He is so good to me that the Isaacs sing a song that goes something like this. He ain't never done me nothing but good. He ain't never done, I know it's bad English, but he ain't never done me nothing but good. How many of you can say today, God has been so good to you? Now, it's not always been easy. There have been hills and there's been valleys. There's been great days and not so awesome days, but he ain't never done me nothing but good. He's been good to me. And I'm overwhelmed when I sit down with God and I do this, and I encourage you to do this if you've never done this. When I sit down and I take a piece of paper and a pen and I begin to write down the blessings of God in my life and how good he's been to me. And so often I'm focused on the 5% of my life that's not awesome or not the way that I would like for it to be, when 95% of my life and 95% of the time, God's blessings are overwhelming. He's been so much better to me than I even begin to deserve. And I'm taking that for granted. And instead of thanking him for the 95%, I'm griping about the 5%. My shepherd's a good shepherd. He's a good and faithful shepherd. Look at the text here with me. It says in verse 2, he says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I'm going to insinuate peace, right? The sheep are lying down. When the sheep are scared, when the sheep are upset, when the sheep are worried, if there's, you know, a problem, they're going to stand up. They're not going to lay down and rest. If they're hungry, they're not going to lay down and rest. If they're upset, no, he causes me to lie down in green pastures. He gives us a peace that passes understanding. No matter that the storm may be howling and beating and the waves crashing on the outside of my life, inside I've got a peace, right? That the world can't even fathom or comprehend. causes me to lie down in green pastures, not dried up, withered pastures, but green pastures, lush and abundant. Leads me beside quiet, still waters. There's this safety. It's not this dangerous. And the reason it's not that dangerous is because the shepherd leads me in good paths, leads me to good places in my life. So often, though, we do like sheep, and you know, a sheep's pretty defenseless. They're not really going to hurt too much, but one thing's for sure, they can hurt themselves, right? They get upset, they get worried, they get scared, and they take off and they run into the fence or they injure themselves. We're so much like that, aren't we? We do more harm to ourselves than we do anybody else a lot of times. Truth is that self-centered, self-focused people will self-implode. It's what we do. It's how we hurt ourselves, and God knows that. He knows that we need a shepherd. He knows that we need to be led, and He's a good shepherd. He gives me peace. He strengthens me. Listen to what David says. He restores my soul. Anybody ever had a time in your life when you felt like you needed your soul restored? Renewed, refreshed. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He strengthens me, refreshes me, restores my soul. He guides me. He guides me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Sometimes that means that He has to jerk my collar. Because I want to go this way, right? And a loving father, a loving shepherd, He corrects me. And He says, this is not the way you need to go. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a dark valley, a hard valley, a rough valley, I'll not be afraid. Why? Because You're with me. He not only guides me, but He comforts me even in the dark. Even in the dark spots and the dark nights of life, I don't have to be afraid. Why? Because He's with me. I'm sheltered. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And even though you may not see me, and you may have times in your life when it's hard, and you don't even sense my presence, I'm there. I'm there. Reminded of a story of custom with the Native American people, and when a young boy was ready to become a man, the father would take his son out into the forest, into the wilderness, and he would leave his son at dark, and he would leave him there in the woods. Now, this was back before there was security lights and, you know, street lights or even flashlights. He would leave him there in the pitch black dark in the night, and he had to stay there in the woods by himself all night long. It's a test of manhood, right? And so the young man would be sitting there in the woods, and he would be hearing all these noises and the twigs cracking and the leaves rustling and the sound of wild animals and stuff in the night. And he would probably want to just jump up and run out of there. He would be afraid, and he's probably thinking and all these thoughts going through his mind. Well, you know, what if these wild animals get me and I'm here all by myself? What he would come to realize is as the sun would begin to come up the next morning and the light would begin to come over the hills and through the trees within earshot, just a little ways away, was his father. And he had not left. He had been there all night long. Through the night, the Father was there. And if a wild animal would have tried to come out of those woods and get his son, his father would have been there just like that. There's going to be times in your life you're not even going to feel or hear or see that God is there, and the night is so dark and it's scary. But you hear me when I say this morning, He is there. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And He not only comforts me, He blesses me. How many of you can say today, God has just been so good to me? He is so, I mean, we say that almost tritely sometimes. Yeah, God is good all the time, right? But He is. He is. He's good, and He's good all the time, and He's so good. So good to us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's already given us so much more than we even remotely deserve. The wages of our sin is just death. That's what we've earned. He blesses me. Man, He's so good to me. Prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. My cup is not half full. It's not half empty. It's overflowing. Full. Dripping over with the abundance and the goodness and the kindness and the graciousness and the love of God. Man. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I mean, David's saying here that, listen, this shepherd's not only been good to me in the past, he's not only good to me today, but I know that he is going to continue to be good to me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not just that I want to go to heaven because it's some golden mansion and I get to live there in some luxury suite in a resort there and just enjoy the blessings of God. The greatest blessing of being in the house of God is that God is there and I'll be with Him. And I don't know about you, but wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me ask you a question. Because this passage insinuates relationship. That there's this relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. There's this relationship between David and the good shepherd, the Lord, his shepherd. Do you have that relationship? Do you have a relationship with the God of this universe? Do you have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's it. Do you have that? I got to tell you, in almost 22 years of ministry, I've stood at the head of a bunch of caskets, and I've read this psalm right here. Many of you have been to funerals, and you've heard over and over again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Many of you could probably even recite it by memory as we were reading it this morning. Truth is the day's coming for you too. The day's coming. Somebody's going to be at your funeral. Somebody's going to read Psalm 23 at your funeral. And somebody's going to say, "Is the Lord is my shepherd." But is that true? Is the Lord your shepherd? Are you prepared to meet the creator of this universe? And I know some of you may be young and you may feel like, it's at least a long time till I'm going to die. You don't know that. No guarantee you'll be here tomorrow. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after that to face the judgment. It's coming for you too. Is the Lord your shepherd? Are you prepared to meet God? Do you know Christ? Is Christ the good shepherd, your shepherd? I'm going to give a time of response. If he's not your shepherd, he can be your shepherd before you leave here today. If you'll cry out to Jesus, repentance and faith, believe in the resurrected Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cry out to him for forgiveness, he will save your soul and he will change your life. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while. I don't know. But you've been trying to be your own shepherd. Maybe you've wandered from the fold. You've wandered from his leading, his guiding, his shepherding in your life. Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Will you trust his leadership? Will you do the walk of faith? The just shall live, shall walk by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Will you trust him? Will you trust him not just for your salvation, but will you trust him to lead and guide and direct your life and to be the good shepherd that he is? You do that today. Maybe you need to pray right where you are. You need to talk to God. You need to confess. You need to repent. You need to come back to him. Maybe you need to be saved. You need to cry out to him for forgiveness of sin. Would you do that right now? I don't want you to do anything other than what the Holy Spirit is convicting you and leading you and guiding you to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you. Help us to take a look at our lives, to see ourselves as you see us. Father, help us always to be grateful for your shepherding in our lives. Father, we thank you for being such a good shepherd. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.